This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Wanted to get with Sal today, who, and he's back from the combine, but sort of put a bow on it, if that's possible, because it's far from over. This weekend, there'll be a lot of interesting news at the Combine, times, and everything else that'll happen. But Sal was lucky enough to be there for a few days, talked to the Bills, got to see some of the prospects. In fact, running, you know, right in front of them on that carpet.
Right, practicing for their 40s.
Practicing for the 40s. I don't know if you saw some of these guys that have run today, Sal, but the practice might have worked for some of these guys. I saw 4.29, 4.3, 24 miles an hour, and the defensive linemen yesterday. There was a lot of that too. These big guys who are flying.
No doubt, I have seen some of the times today, and you're right. Like, there's some impressive times today and yesterday. And look, I mean, a lot of things have happened here, which is athletes are just becoming better, bigger, and stronger. Records are always made to be broken, right? Several years. I mean, the guy today, Isaiah Bond, said he's going to break the record, Xavier Worthy's record. Like, he's confident. This dude is so fast. Also went to the same school, by the way, Texas. But, you know, that's what happens. The other thing is, as you guys know, it's specialized training now for the combine. They work. These guys hire people. I know people who train them for this. It's what they do. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not necessarily new. Mike Mamula did that and got him picked in the top 10 of the NFL draft. And then he had a very short NFL career. So it's just something that is going to continue to happen here. And it's always a debate about what's the right type of testing to do in certain positions and all those things. But I think every year we're going to have this discussion even more and more like this.
Yeah, I feel like, though, teams have learned enough. Like, I don't know if maybe 20 years ago a guy sets the record for the 40 in a combine time if he doesn't get elevated a lot by that. And Worthy lasted till pick 28 last year, which was right around where he was mocked. And I think, because I know we were talking about him for the Bills at 28, funny enough. I feel like teams know enough now not to overreact to just like a fast 40 time, right?
I think so, but who was the kid that came out that the Bengals drafted a few years ago? The receiver from Washington.
John Ross.
I mean, yeah, he was a football player too, but that really helped him. I think Xavier Worthy is a bit in this boat. I had an interesting debate in the media room with the Bills media at the end of the season about how good Xavier Worthy is. I still think he has a lot to prove. I mean, he had some nice games. He had a good game against the Bills, but don't be a prisoner of the moment. He wasn't great this year. That offense wasn't super prolific. He helped them. He had some nice games. I want to see more. I thought it was really interesting when Brandon Bean was asked about this too, because, you know, he's famous for Brandon Bean made the trade last year and gave up Xavier Worthy. And at the end of the year, you're like, well, look at Xavier Worthy and how could you give him to him? And, you know, they beat you and you need speed still. And Brandon Bean still doubled down and reiterated what he said many times, which is, his quote was, football's not run on a track, as we talked about the other day. And he said, I want to make sure he's a football player first. You know, you it's not just the speed. So I agree with you. I do think teams are smarter. But I think what happens, Bulldog, is you just fall in love with it when you see it, right? And you're like, oh, my God, give me that guy. I could just have him run by everybody and throw it over the top.
How about the lineman, the defensive lineman, Sal, from yesterday? Last time we talked about Kenneth Grant from Michigan for a minute, or at least earlier this week we did, and you liked him as a pick that would go before the Bills turn at 30. Everybody seems to say there's a lot of depth there. Who's the perfect player? I'm not sure you'll have a name. I don't necessarily mean a name, but like who's right. the perfect type for what the Bills should want up front?
Besides Grant, because I think Grant is almost seems perfect to me. But
if they can't have him.
It's a good question. I don't have a name, but there are types, I think, right? The type is that they need to get bigger and they need to get more physical. So if you can give me a really physical, powerful guy that's smaller, I could definitely listen to that. But I don't think you can go the Ed Oliver route, right? You already have Ed Oliver. You're paying him a lot of money. That's the kind of guy that like you have to pair him. He's going to be on the field a lot. You have to pair him with a bigger guy. Now, Daquan Jones is big. He's 6'4", 330, I think, right? Up in that range. Whatever it is, he's a big guy. I mean, that's fine. I think they need more length and more power. That's what they need. Yes, they're a penetrating defense, but there's a way to penetrate with power. You can have bigger guys who can be penetrators, but at times they're going to have to hold up. They're going to have to be able to two-gap, right? They're not a normal two-gap defense. What that means is hold your guy up. You have the gap to the left and the right. The Bills run a one-gap defense, which is just hit that gap, go to it, go through it. That's your gap. That's all you're responsible for. So I think the best fit is a guy who's bigger, longer, and more powerful right now for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I feel like they just drafted Dwayne Carter to sort of be Oliver's primary backup. And you know,
he's only 6'1".
Right. And I thought that was going all right, you know, at the beginning of the year, and then the injury happened, and he's another guy on the list that didn't really bounce back from the injury. At least that's how it appeared from out here. So yeah, I think I'm looking for, if not a bigger, I mean, Daquan Jones, 6'4", 340, it might be hard to top that. You can, but I need a younger, more athletic version of that, I think, is what I'm really shopping for. And that's why Grant is so appealing, I think.
I agree with you. So that's what I would look for. The other part about it is I say, it's interesting, because I say length is important because, guys, you face so many of these teams now that just play the quick game so much.
Right.
And if you can get your hands up and disrupt that, that could really help. And, you know, that's part of the game now in the NFL. We see what's happening here. These teams, they spread the offense out. They get the ball out of their hands quick. And it's RPO. You could disrupt RPO with a little more length and power, pushing back, getting your hands up. So I just think that those things are becoming more and more important. Derek Harmon of Oregon is a guy probably who fits this, right? 6'4". I'm looking at the measurables now. That's why I'm bringing a couple of these names up. 6'4.5", 313. He's undersized as far as his body frame, but he's still pretty big. 313 pounds isn't small. It's not super big for an NFL defensive lineman. Tyleek Williams is. He's a little shorter at 6'3", still pretty tall, but 334. I mean, these are guys that are thought to be probably near or in for, you know, first round range, at least by a lot of people. Some people might not, depending on their game or whatever, but that's what you're probably looking at here.
Right. Length, Shamar Stewart, Texas A&M, and he seems like one of these polarizing prospects, right? Because he looks...
He had a great day.
Right. Testing, right? On-field production, I feel like Dwight Adams used to say, looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. And I don't know that it necessarily applies to him, but I thought of it when I've heard some of the commentary about this guy. It's like, he looks the part, but where are the numbers? Like, where's the production?
And I think he's less than 300, right? He's 290, what I'm looking at right now.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's just... Is that really, are you going to be able to anchor in a time where you might need to anchor and stop the run? What's been the bugaboo about the Bills defense the last several years? And I'll be the first to tell you, it's structured to say, yeah, we'll invite the run a little bit. That's fine. You're not going to throw on us. But I think that at times over the last few years, in critical games especially, they've had to stop the run, and there's been downs where they just haven't been able to do that. So I think they want to get a little bit heavier and a little bit more powerful there.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her hotline. Same kind of question for receiver. Sal, if the Bills are going to do anything there. Interesting how they have the 2 seconds, but no third. And like on through the draft, they're in the even numbered rounds here. That'll probably move around a lot once we get there. But is there a type here for you at that position for them?
Well, I do think they need speed. They have to get faster. I mean, you look at a guy like Isaiah Bond. Could he fit the Bills? He's 5'11", 180. He's a little smaller, no doubt. You know, you'd like the guy to be taller than that. But you're going to... get a guy that's super fast, you're probably giving up a little bit as far as the size is concerned. Speaking of him, he's not probably going to go in the first round. Maybe that's somebody, the one of their second round picks that they kind of target here. I think that speed is number one. I'd like to see them get a little bit bigger. They do have Keon Coleman, obviously, on the roster. Mac Hollins, no doubt about it. On the outside in some capacity, but it doesn't have to be. If you could add a guy who's a little bit smaller, but he knows how to get open separation, I guess that's the big thing. That's the trait, though, not a body type, right? You be able to get separation. The Bills just did not get separation last year, guys. Now, Khalil Shakir did a really good job of developing that part of his game, and being able to be more of a separator. He does it in a certain way. Keon Coleman can get separation when he goes up for the ball, how he, runs down the field. He's not going to run away from you. We've seen that a couple of times, mm-hmm. how he was able to do that. That's a big thing for me. I think if you're going to do that, you have to look at, a little bit of how you can separate and play against all different kinds of coverages and still be able to separate. I think receiver is an interesting spot for the Bills. To me, roster construction for the Bills, the receiver spot really comes down to two questions, and it's the same question but two different players. How confident are the Buffalo Bills in what they're going to get out of Keon Coleman? And how confident are the Buffalo Bills in what they're going to get out of Curtis Samuel?
Yeah, I think those are big questions for them. And I think Sal, we start out on this pathway. We watch the Super Bowl, and it's like, oh, I need defensive tackle. I need edge. Cut Von Miller. I got to do trade for Miles Garrett. There's so much that'll happen before April 24th when the first round of this thing goes. Mike and I were talking about it earlier in the week one day. You can convince me that defense has to be the pick, tackle, edge, safety, corner. Like, those are all places you could use upgrades to varying degrees. But I've got 2 months between now and then, and in between, maybe I trade for someone on the defensive line. Maybe I sign a free agent or two. And that brings receiver back into the conversation, even mm-hmm. though it would be a third consecutive year if they were to target somebody with the 30th pick or even one of those second rounders. Because they drafted Kincaid in the first round and Coleman with their first pick in the second round last year. So it would be a third year doing it. But if you fill needs somewhere else, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, I understand. Their roster's still good, guys. It's still good. It's still one of the better rosters in the NFL. You could definitely argue. The thing about the Bills roster, and I'm not breaking news here, right? We all know this. I think we can recognize it. Everyone says it. I interviewed Chris Sims the other day at the Combine. I don't know if you guys heard the interview. They played it on Extra Point Show, and he said this, and he's right. But it's not anything that's totally novel, which is Bills have a really good roster. They just don't have difference makers at the top of it. They've won. Same as Josh Allen. Now, you could argue here and there they have a difference maker in a game, and James Cook can be one. There's no doubt about that. But they don't have difference makers, and they need them. They need another one on the offensive side of the ball, and they certainly need at least one or a couple of them on the defensive side of the ball. To me, that's where I want to go in this draft with the Bills, which is it's time to not draft for the floor, but to draft for the ceiling like you did with Josh Allen, if that makes sense, right? To me, the Bills of that year said, we are going to take the biggest swing possible. Yes, there's a risk involved, but if we're going to be great at quarterback, we're going to be really great at quarterback. And now they have the league MVP 7 years later. That's what I want them to do. Now, I don't know in this draft that that's possible, so that's free agent, and that's trade. That's mm-hmm. really what it's got to come down to. That's why I'm all in on go trade for Miles Garrett. Go trade for Max Crosby. Go get one of those guys. Go get Micah Parsons, because those are difference makers. You're not finding an elite difference maker at number 30. Even if you trade up 10 spots, because that's probably as high as you can go, you're probably not getting one at number 20. And I just find that part of it this year, to me, to be the most critical. Wherever that comes, guys, that could be free agent, that could be draft, that could be trade, however. But most likely it wouldn't be draft where they're drafting. You got to get difference makers on this roster. That's the difference between being where they are and being where they want to be.
Yeah, makes sense. Are you surprised by the Matthew Stafford news? I mean, we don't know. We don't know a lot, right? The whole time sort of riding right. along with the reporting, which was, he might be traded. I thought he would be traded just from that. How about you?
A bit surprised, yeah, for sure. I was, as I sip my Starbucks coffee and think about it, and a lot of people other as well.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought he was going to be out, especially after that report about the Raiders, and we all knew that kind of happened. Just how it happened was the issue there. And then the Giants are really, look, the Giants have to win, guys. They have to. Dable and Shane know that they have to win. And I think that that was something that they were really interested in if he became available and it wasn't going to be the Raiders. They were right there. There's no doubt. That Joe Shane talked the other day and said Tommy DeVito is the only quarterback on their roster. And I'm like, holy cow, that's right. You know, and so I thought that was something that would really fit for them. So my point is, I never understood why the Rams really wanted to do this.
Yeah.
It made sense to keep him. And so I'm surprised, though, that they are, only because it seemed like they were really trying to not do that.
I thought Stafford might have wanted to do it, but what was the Rams' plan B? Maybe that led to today, you know, if Darnold or some other plan that they, like, I know there are rules against some of this stuff, but maybe they found out one of their ideas was just not going to come to fruition.
Or price tag was too high or something like that. Yeah, because we were talking about the other day, so I don't know if you were a part of the conversation or not, but I thought, what are the Rams doing? Like, they were like a play or two away from winning a playoff game in Philadelphia in the snow, and they had a great draft last year. The safety versus the pass rusher, they've got Nacua, the running back's a stud. Like, they look ready to keep contending, and thinking they were going to improve their situation at quarterback by moving Stafford was a little nutty to me.
Agreed, 100%. You know, you got to protect him. There's no doubt at this point of his career. But yeah, when he's standing back there and has time, there's still not many guys in the league that can spin it like him and do what he can, right? He's still really good. And he's 37, I believe. I mean, because the other option is, do you go out and get a Sam Darnold? Do you get Aaron Rodgers to come home to LA, to California, whatever? But it just never made sense. Had to be financial, had to be money. And I know they have a lot of young players they really like, and they're going to also want to make some moves. So maybe that was the hang up. But ultimately, yeah, I thought that he was probably gone based on everything that was reported. That was, by the way, just a wild scene and to talk about in Indy.
Yeah,
everything
I
that
wanted to, you made a joke about Starbucks, so it spread. Yeah. The next thing I wanted to ask you about is if you wanted to share, you know, you're a reporter, you break news, share your opinion or view of like what happened between Jordan Schultz of Fox and Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network.
I think it's fascinating and incredible that this happened, and it's not surprising that you have two reporters and insiders that don't like each other, and I think there's a history there, and these things can happen. You have this Twitter beef, but to actually have a confrontation at a Starbucks nonetheless, right? Which, by the way, let me explain the way it works so everybody knows. At the JW Marriott, where all the team and media employees stay, basically, like, that's all the team employees, I should say, in NFL and national people, they're at the JW Marriott. And at the bottom of the JW Marriott is a bar called High Velocity. This is the go-to place. Like, we're all there every night. We all try to make it there at some point because you're going to run into people. And you can tell the people who are really just trying to run into people and the people just having a good time. And, oh, there's somebody. Let me say hi, right?
Right.
For example, real quick, like, you walk in, there's a bar to the left, which is massive, and everybody kind of congregates around there. There's another bar to the right, which isn't as massive, but gets kind of really full. It's more of a sit-down type place. And then in the middle, Josh Reed and I were there one night, and we're kind of standing there where people are walking in and out. And Josh looks and goes, holy cow, this is the best place to be because everybody's walking in and out of the door. And here comes Leslie Frazier, guys. It was great, and we got to talk to him for a while. But this is just the kind of thing that you do, and you see, and you start talking to people. Well, anyway, on the second floor of this Marriott is a Starbucks where most of the NFL national people, NFL employees, team employees, they get their coffee on their way to the convention center in the morning. And what happens is a lot of reporters also just kind of hang out there because of that, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And they want to talk to people. While Rappaport was there, Jordan Schultz, they had this big beef about the whole thing about running into each other at the ski lodge in Montana or whatever it was between Brady and, you know, and then Don Yee, Brady's agent, is giving the info to Pelissero and Rappaport. No. They just ran into each other because he knows how that looks, right? Jordan Schultz is like, yeah, all right. So apparently Jordan Schultz walked in and looked at Ian Rappaport, from what I understand, I was told, said, hey, you know, we got a problem. We need to talk. And Rapp's like, don't really want to do that. No, we got a problem. We got to talk. And got in his face. And that's when things kind of escalated. And because Rapp is a employee of the NFL, he had to report it to NFL security, which, by the way, speaking of that, Bulldog, I ran into your buddy Big Dom a few times as well in Philadelphia. He was walking around keep whatever he was doing. I saw him many times,
of course,
and it was wild. And I'm just telling you guys, it was the talk and the buzz of, we think the NFL is such drama filled, which it is, all these things we talk about every day, this player movement, free agency, trades. I mean, Jeremy said he has a great idea after I told him this story. He said, Hard Knocks, High Velocity. Oh, my God. I said, that would be a great show.
The bar.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you, Sal. Enjoy your weekend.
Have a great one, guys.
That's our dude, Sal Capaccio, on the West Hare Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Sal mentioning Curtis Samuel again. $9 million cap hit. I mean, Samuel is probably here. Mm-hmm. Can they make him useful this year? If he can stay healthy, that's always to be said. And probably relevant to how little he did in 2024. Kevin Adams coming up in 15 minutes here on WGR.